This is Jim Taylor at WRMJ Radio in Aledo, and he's Brian Roush at WCCI Radio in Savannah. This is Jim and Brian talking high school sports on the radio, our final segment of the 2017-2018 school year, and I added up, Brian Roush, 40 segments here for the 2017-2018 school year. I think we've done this about 5 years now, so if you do the math, that's about 200 segments we've done over 5 years, but a lot of topics to talk about each week, and I tell everybody it's the starting point of the discussion, not the ending point of the discussion.
Yeah, that's right, and as you say, 40 shows, and time does fly when you're having fun. It seems like we were just starting last fall, and now we're finishing up here in the spring. You look back and you say, each and every year there are a ton of memories created, a ton of great athletic achievements, and as you just said, we want to start the conversation. We want to get people kind of on topic and looking into things. Our opinions are just kind of that opening of the door, not necessarily the ending of the argument or ending of the discussion.
Yeah, among the things that we worked on this year, I attended my first ever bass fishing sectional with you, so we learned about that up close and personal.
Yeah, I feel kind of bad that they didn't have that when I was in school, because that would have been a sport tailor-made for me, you know. It takes a little patience, takes a little skill, and you know, being out on the water, but the coming in and the camaraderie and the cooking and all that good stuff, that was right, would be right up my alley.
Yeah, but your athletic ability, come on, man. They needed you for that up at Savannah. All right, as we move ahead to 2018-2019 school year, I think it's going to be interesting with some of these policy issues, and I think, you know, we can go basically season by season here, Brian. I know the district scheduling for high school football is going to pick up some more steam, because I know it's part of the legislative process now and going to be discussed at town hall meetings next fall, and potentially there could be a vote by IHSA membership schools sometime next year. I think that's going to be the big hot button topic right out of the gate.
Yeah, I think you're right, and I think, as you kind of mentioned, it's kind of getting some support and ahead of steam, and we're seeing that up our way, where, you know, we have some teams that kind of went together. You've got another team that's going to play eight-man football, so it's really kind of made scheduling within the conference more difficult, and I think that's one of the reasons that you're looking at, hey, let's kind of forget about those conference affiliations and do something a little more equitable for everyone.
Yeah, and I don't think that, and we talked about it at least for your area, I don't think district scheduling will have a significant impact on a lot of those Northwest Upstate Illini schools, because they have a lot of similarities. Now, down in our area, the district scheduling is a hot-button topic, because we've lost a lot of common-sense rivalries over the year, but it's always interesting to see how, you know, member schools will vote in the end. And you bring up eight-man football. I think that probably is going to get more conversation next school year as well. I thought there was some initial momentum building for that, but then I thought the process slowed down a little bit, where you saw maybe some schools that thought that they pushed that eight-man idea out, but they're going to hold back a little bit. So we kind of go into the winter season then, right? The next big issue for, you know, basketball for both boys and girls, probably the shot clock, not next year, but probably the year after that, or maybe even the year after that. I'm still resistant to that. I don't like shot clock at the high school level, because I'm big on the, you know, the strategy of the game, and the underdog, in my opinion, has a better chance to maybe pull off the upset without the shot clock by holding the ball, so to speak. And if you can't hold the ball and slow down the game, the favorites, in my opinion, will always win. People say, Taylor, shot clock is modern basketball. I don't know. I'm still torn on that one, but I think it's coming.
I think it probably is too, and I'm old school just like you are, Jim, when it comes to the shot clock. I don't like the fact that it's added expense for all the schools to install, maybe something more for an official scorer to worry about. And as you say, that takes away that stall, that slowdown, away from the high school game. I understand it in college, I understand it in the pros, and I'm all for it there. But in high school, I think sometimes if you're under manned. If you know you're the heavy underdog, you have to pull out every stop imaginable to try to win, and one of them is to slow the game down. And I think, that, as you kind of alluded to there, it kind of helps the teams that are deeper and more talented. And I like to see, hey, let's give a chance to the underdogs of the world.
I agree. All right. And then I know your station has done a great job over the years covering high school wrestling. There's no question about that. And you would probably have better input on this than I would. I talked to one of our wrestling coaches this week. I know there's the new rule going into effect next wrestling season, National Federation-wise, on what constitutes inbounds, what constitutes out of bounds. With wrestlers, you can read about that on the National Federation website. But you know, the other thing that has kind of got lost in the shuffle a little bit is this classification issue, and they haven't taken final action on it yet. But they're, you know, the three class sports traditionally enrollment wise have been split 33%, 33%, 33% among the schools that have wrestling. Well, they're looking at the classification proposal now next year, going to 40% of the wrestling schools will be Class A, and then the next 30% will be 2A, and the next 30% will be 3A. So there'll be more Class 1A schools for high school wrestling. We know there's a dual team tournament, and we know there's an individual state tournament for wrestling. And I was talking to a coach this week. I think 28 more schools is what he said it would equate to. And he's like, some of those 28 schools, you know, what is that going to do to the competitive balance of 1A wrestling? Now, the IHSA Board of Directors, I think, is voting on this next month on this classification issue. But you're a guy that covers high school wrestling, and adding 28 bigger schools to 1A, I think, is going to be an interesting storyline following next school year in the sport of high school wrestling.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. And we talk about that sectional up here that already is loaded. I know kind of the rest of the state has been catching up some, but still it seems like, whether it be at Byron or Oregon, wherever it's held, and I know a lot of your schools come up this way, that sectional is so difficult right now. Add in some of these schools that maybe are just across the 2A line and that drop down to 1A in the area, and you're going to make that more of a gauntlet. So I would think you would make things more difficult. I know you look across and people say, well, you know, being a 3A champ is so extremely difficult. Maybe they're trying to, you know, balance it out a little bit across the ways. But I think that in 1A, with the quality of wrestling that we have in your area, in our area, that's going to make things even more difficult.
Yeah, and you look at those schools that are, you know, north of Interstate 80, like, you know, a Richmond Burton, for example, that, you know, probably going to now tangle with the schools in our area in the postseason. So we finish up then with kind of the spring sports season, and I've talked about this for several years, and a lot of the topics I talk about on my social media stuff, on my like own page, this is the conversation where there's a lot of discussion. And I'm going to say again, I truly believe the spring sports schedule needs to be adjusted, and they need to push it back 3 or 4 weeks and move the season back, play into June. And a lot of people that will debate with me, they'll say, well, you can't guarantee weather's going to be any better in May or June than it is in March or April. I agree with that statement. But for me, the comeback is always temperature. I know in May and June, the temperatures are going to be in the 70s and 80s. I know in March and April, they're going to be in the 40s and 50s. And if they're spitting rain when the temperatures are in the mid-40s, game won't be played. If they're spitting rain when the temperatures are in the mid-60s, mid-70s, or lower 80s, games will be played. Also, I believe that if you adjust the spring sports schedule again, I think you have to allow the option, again, this is an option, that you can play games, you know, late Sunday afternoon, early Sunday evening. And again, that's dependent on both schools agreeing. I still contend that it would be better for both sports, softball and baseball to go to that schedule, delay the start, push it back into to April, and then the season ends up in the latter portion of June. I believe that. Here's the other thing, too, that, and this is me, too, just complaining a little bit. The postseason start times, you know, like I'd say earlier this week, we did a game, a sectional semifinal game. Now, this is the sectional, all right, semifinal. Rock Ridge softball team on a Tuesday afternoon had to play at Farmington against Beardstown at 4:30 on a Tuesday afternoon. Now, Brian, I know you didn't get an A-plus in geography, but how can students from Beardstown, Illinois, and Taylor Ridge / Edgington, Illinois, get from those locales on a school day down to a sectional site at 4:30? Impossible, right? And it's impossible for a lot of the parents to get to those sites unless they take some, you know, personal time off of their profession or their occupation. So, long story short, those are two things that I'm going to continue to hammer on as we go along here, and I know I'll probably talk about it again next school year, so get ready, people.
Yeah, and as far as the calendar, I've always been confused by the fact that they start the season in March and have games scheduled that they know full well aren't ever going to get played, or if they are, it's going to be in extreme conditions. And with the majority, at least around what I see, of, you know, younger players making an impact, those who say, well, you wouldn't want to have it in the summer, or at least in the month of June, because you have, you know, seniors that then would be out of school and still playing or whatnot, I think that kind of becomes, you know, more and more, you know, less of a point, and more so you're like, okay, you're talking about underclassmen anyway. And then the other thing, especially baseball, with the pitch counts and with the calendar, something has to give, because especially in small schools, it's very difficult to have enough pitchers where you might say, well, we'll play doubleheaders or play, you know, five games in a six-day span when the weather's nice. Most of the schools around here would find it very difficult to have, you know, enough pitching to stay within the rules and stay competitive.
And the other issue where I look at, you know, getting back to the calendar and getting back to the start times, you know, for me, the, you know, growing the game or growing the fan base, to me, you know, weather has to be good for the fans to come out and see, right? And the start time, I mean, has to be there for people to get to the games, you know, especially with postseason. That's the thing that just bugs me. It's like the sports are missing out in the postseason when they play those weekday games at 4:30, and you're talking about, Brian, some great matchups in postseason, whether it be baseball or softball, you know, during the middle of the week, but you're playing at 4:30, and when you're talking about sectional sites, I mean, a lot of the time you're talking about traveling 90 minutes to get there for a 4:30 game, and some of these schools are still in session. But anyway, as we wrap up, I always tell people, you know, if you have an idea you want us to talk about, you know, always get a hold of us. It's jim@wrmj.com. We'll always talk about a topic. But those are some of the different things we touched upon in our 40 weeks this season. And by the way, Brian, somebody just the other day asked me about Jack Nicklaus and Savannah and asked me how the 1979 Cinderella and Underdog story is doing. So it's always those type of tidbits of information that are neat to talk about, too. He was the Savannah wrestler that had a losing record, lost to some JV kids, and when the season was over, he was the state champ. So we like to highlight things like that, too. But anyway, always get a hold of us if you have an idea for us to talk about. Been a fun 40 segments this year, and we'll do it again, I think, the week before the high school football kicks off in late August. Brian, one of the really good guys in small market radio. Brian Roosh, thank you very much all school year long.
Hey, thank you, Jim, and you do a lot of work behind the scenes getting our topics, doing a lot of the production, and certainly appreciate that. And I do owe you a trip to Aledo. I want to get down there and see the sights and sounds of your station and your downtown area, and I just need to get down there, and I'm going to make that a priority this summer.
All right, and even Al Roche will give you a barber give you a haircut at his barber shop across the street here. He's Brian Rouge at WCCI Radio in Savannah. I'm Jim Taylor at WRMJ Radio in Aledo. This is Jim and Brian talking high school sports on the radio.